Scripture reading this morning will be Ephesians chapter 1. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You may be seated. Please pray with me. O Lord God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this letter that we've been able to go through. And Lord, we just thank you for blessing us so much. Lord, we don't deserve it. And Lord, we pray that you would work in our hearts, that you would humble us, that you would work in us true, genuine thankfulness, gratitude to you. And Lord, that you would help us to express that. That we would honor you, that we would praise you, that we would give thanks. I pray you would bless us now as we look at your word, that you would teach us and work your will in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I mentioned last week, with Thanksgiving coming up this week, I want to give a Thanksgiving message. And at the same time, since I just finished last week going through Ephesians, I wanted to give a brief review, summary, and just hit some of the high points. And really, the book of Ephesians is so full of blessings and blessings and blessings that God gives us. And so the second half, really our response to those blessings, our response to what God has done for us. And so I thought, what a perfect fit. We will look at giving thanks this week as we do our review here in Ephesians. But with Thanksgiving coming up, so many holidays, and yet what could be more appropriate for the Christian faith than Thanksgiving, that we be thankful? God's people should be the most thankful people in all the earth, shouldn't we? We should be the most thankful. You know, not only has God blessed us with our physical needs, He has blessed us with our greatest need, our spiritual need of a Savior. And honestly, the reality is that we still struggle with thankfulness. We struggle with not being as thankful as we ought to be, even now, even as we have Christ, and we have all the blessings that we have in Him. This is still an ongoing battle for us to be thankful for what God has done for us, thankful for what He gives for us each day, to be thankful. But you know, thankfulness is, it's really not a simple math equation. Thankfulness is not simply the result of blessings. If you're blessed, you're thankful. If you're blessed, you thank God. You know, our thankfulness and the measure of our thankfulness is not in direct proportion to the measure of blessings that we have received. There are some who have been blessed abundantly who are not very thankful. There are others who have been blessed far less, and yet they just seem to overflow with gratitude. So what makes the difference? Why are some people more thankful than others? Now you might say Christ makes all the difference. Those who have Christ are more thankful than those who do not. And while that's true, Christ does make the difference. Christ is the answer. At the same time, as Christ changes our heart, He specifically begins changing our perspective. Our perspective is a major factor in our thankfulness. It's huge. If we don't value something, we won't appreciate it. If we think that we are owed something or that we deserve something, we won't be as thankful for it when we get it. And I think that's part of what Paul's speaking of here in Ephesians 1:18, where he says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe." You see, Paul doesn't just want us to merely know about the blessings that are ours in Christ. He also wants us to understand how glorious they are, to fully appreciate what God has done. Perspective is huge. Perspective is so important. You know, that's why in Ephesians chapter 2, it doesn't start out with verse 4, speaking of God's mercy and His love. No, we need to view God's mercy and His love from the right perspective. And verses 1 through 3 gives us that perspective. We won't appreciate God's mercy and His love unless we recognize how desperately we need it, unless we recognize how much we don't deserve it. And verses 1 through 3 in chapter 2 describe our sinful state before Christ saved us. You know, we weren't just sick. We were dead. We weren't just confused or accidentally doing the wrong things. No. We were intentionally indulging in the flesh. We were doing the evil that we wanted to do. We weren't even trying to please God. We were just set on pleasing ourselves. And so this changes our perspective of God's love and mercy. We see how incredibly wicked and undeserving we are. And all the more, it just makes us astonished that God would not give us what we deserve, but that He would show us mercy. We see how we don't deserve this at all. You see, without factoring in our wickedness, we can't fully appreciate God's love and mercy. But once we realize that what we really deserve is His judgment, we deserve punishment, well, that changes everything. It humbles us. To have the right perspective here really fills our heart with gratitude. And so my goal this morning as we review this letter of the Ephesians is that we would all be reminded of the rich blessings that we have in Christ. Now, this is a review. We are certainly not looking at everything here. But my prayer as we go through this would be that God would humble our hearts, that He would give us the right perspective, that our gratefulness would grow, that we would appreciate God all the more, and that we might then respond by living thankful lives. So the outline this morning, the title is Give Thanks. And the 2 points, number one, spiritual blessings in Christ, and number two, how to live in thankful response. And as I go through here, I'm going to, there are times that I'm going to read from Ephesians, but there's other times I'm just going to mention a verse so you have an idea of where I'm at in the book as we go through. But we've already gone through this book verse by verse, and so this is just a review. We're not looking at anything in great detail. We've already done that. So I just want to highlight here some of the many blessings that we have in Christ. Again, just we need these reminders, don't we? We need to be reminded, and we need to remind each other how blessed we are. We need to be reminded what we have in Christ. So often it's so easy. We live our life here on this earth and we're surrounded. Our eyes see every day physical things. And yet we need to be reminded of these spiritual truths, these blessings that are ours in Christ. And so may this lift your spirits. May this encourage you as we go through here and look at these. So number one, spiritual blessings in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And then Paul just goes through here, listing glorious blessing after glorious blessing, which are all ours in Christ. And in Christ is the key here, isn't it? These blessings are ours only because of Christ and through Christ and in Christ. He is the source of all these blessings. With Christ, these are all yours. And without Christ, none of these are yours. Notice the wording here. Paul is not saying these are all hope-sos or probablys, but you see his wording, these are yours. These are yours. And they're yours not because you did it, but because God did it. Again, look at the wording in these first few verses. He chose us. He loved us. He predestined us. He bestowed on us. He lavished upon us. He made known to us. God did it. God did it. As I've said before, the first three chapters are really what God did. And the last three are what we are to do in response to what He did. So what did He do? Verse 4, we see He chose us to be in Christ. You see, brothers and sisters, if you have faith in Christ, before the foundation of the world, before the world began, God chose you to be His. I love the clarity that we have in this passage. Because, you know, Ephesians 1:4 gives us, it's really part of our conversion story from God's side, is what we see. You know, we are familiar with our side of our conversion. You know, we hear the gospel message, we believe in Christ, we repent of our sins, and we trust in His sacrifice. And really, we see that even in this chapter, in verse 13, it says, "In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise." So here we see, it says, you listened to the message, the gospel, you believed, and then we see that He seals us with the Holy Spirit. And so it's sort of our side, if you will, of our conversion. And these things are true. But in verse 4 shows us what God did first. And then the blessings just continue from there. He loved us. He predestined us to adoption. He decided that He was going to make us a part of His family. Isn't that amazing? He decided to make us a part of His family, to adopt us. Verse 7, we see that He redeems us through the blood of Christ. Christ paid the penalty for us. He died on the cross for our sins. And by the riches of His grace, all our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. He forgives us. What blessings we have in Christ. God not only blesses us here and now, but He also has given us an inheritance. We aren't just part of His family while we're here on earth, but we will still be with Him in glory. And He has promised us in giving us the Holy Spirit that we are sealed in Him for eternity. Verse 20, then Christ came down to die on the cross for us, and God raised Him from the dead, seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. God gave Him authority over all authorities. Again, these are blessings. These are blessings. Christ is the head of the church. What a blessing. We are His body. He is our head. This is God's perfect design for authority structure in the church. We are blessed to have Christ in charge. Again, it's a blessing for the church to have Christ, our Savior, the Good Shepherd, over us. And the blessings continue. Chapter 2, as we see the grace of God in salvation. We were dead in our sin. God made us alive together with Christ. He took us when we were dirty, rotten, filthy sinners, Instead of giving us what our sin deserves, he showed us mercy. By the grace of God, he saved us. He saved us. And now our position is we're no longer estranged from God, enemies of God. Now our position is that we are with Christ. We are with him, raised up with Christ, seated with Christ. Our new position was not earned by us. We didn't work for this. We have nothing in ourselves to boast about. Rather, it's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. He has saved us. Another blessing in verse 10, we are his workmanship. Again, what a blessing that God did not redeem us and save us from Satan's power just to sit us over here on the bench. What a blessing. We get to help. We get to be a part of the fight, only on the right side this time. What a blessing. We get to be used by God for good. God prepared good works for us to do. Then starting in verse 11 and going through chapter 3, Paul helps to give us perspective again, reminding them of their former condition, Gentiles. Gentiles, uncircumcised outcasts, separate from Christ with no hope. But now, through Christ's sacrifice, you who were far off have been brought near. You're not even a second-rate Christian because Christ has broke down the dividing wall. He has brought Jew and Gentile together in peace and unity. You're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. You're of the household of God. What a blessing. The unfathomable riches of Christ belong to both Jewish and Gentile Christians. Then at the end of chapter 3, we see this prayer of blessing from Paul. And we really see here Paul's desire for the saints at Ephesus. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." We see Paul's heart here. He wants Christians to be built up, to be strengthened in Christ, that we would grow in our relationship with Christ, in our relationships with each other in the church, that we would be blessed, that we would be changed, that we would be thankful. As a reminder, these last three chapters here are right where they belong. You know, they're not in front of the first three chapters, lest we think that all these things that we have to do, we do in order to earn the blessings of the first three chapters. But rather, we live out chapters 4 through 6 in response to chapters 1 through 3. We're not earning what God did for us. We're just responding to it. And so, number 2 then, how to live out a thankful response. We've seen all these blessings, and there's more. But now in 4 through 6, our focus is on how to live out a thankful response to these blessings. And the first answer I would give is love the church. Love the church. God has poured out undeserved blessings upon our head. How can we respond in thankfulness? Love the church. Paul starts off the application half of this letter, emphasizing unity among believers. First part of chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I would put it this way. You know, one way that we can live out our thankfulness to the Lord, all these blessings that are ours in Christ, is by showing love, by showing grace to each other. To each other, to God's people. Not only do we diligently pursue unity among believers, but it goes beyond that. We serve each other in the body of Christ, each of us using the gifts that God has given us to build up the body of Christ. And the result we see is a healthy church, a church where each member is exercising their particular gift. And we're growing in faith and maturity, becoming more and more like Christ. And the church body grows and is built up in love and in strength and in unity. Another way we should respond in thankfulness to God that we see really from Ephesians 4:17 through Ephesians 5:17 is that we lay aside the old self and put on the new self. Ephesians 4:22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Don't return. Don't return to your former lifestyle. Your former indulgences. That's not who you are any longer. Ephesians 5:8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Don't get caught up in the sinful habits that you used to. That's not who you are any longer. You're in Christ now. Ephesians 5:15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. We really show our gratitude to the Lord for all that He's done for us when we reject the foolish lifestyle of sin and pursue a lifestyle of holiness and righteousness and obedience. Then in Ephesians 5:21 through chapter 6, verse 9, we see another way that we can honor God is to submit to the authorities in our life. Specifically here, wives submitting to their husbands, children submitting to their parents, and slaves submitting to their masters. In each case, we are to submit to our earthly authorities as to the Lord. Certainly, every authority is not easy to submit to. Some are very difficult. But we are to do it for the Lord's sake. We submit to them because we submit to Christ. And this is good. This is right. Oftentimes it brings about more blessings for us, but even if we don't see any of those blessings, we are still called to trust the Lord. We're called to submit and trust that He will accomplish His will. Lastly, I'd say that another way that we can respond in thankfulness is to take seriously the spiritual battle that we're in. Don't pretend it isn't there. Instead, prepare for it. Prepare for it. Don't rely on your own strength. Instead, cling to the Lord and rely on His. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. So in conclusion, brothers and sisters, we who are wicked sinners, fully deserving the judgment of God, we have not been given what our sin deserves. Instead, we've been shown mercy. We've been given Christ. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what should we do? How should we respond? I pray that our hearts would be so full that God would work on our perspective. Perspective is everything. You know, last week on the way to church here, the transmission went out in our car. But you know what? Praise the Lord. I have the money to pay for a new transmission. Praise the Lord, it didn't leave us stranded. We just drove slower and got here. And praise the Lord, I get a visit with a mechanic I haven't seen for a long time. God is faithful. There's so many things to be thankful for. I just pray that God would work in us more and more the right perspective. Oh, there's always things to complain about. We don't need help looking for that. But we need reminded, don't we? We need to see things from the right perspective. And when we do, gratefulness and thankfulness will just come out of us. It'll just well up inside of us. Praise God. Praise God. That transmission lasted for our trip through Branson, and we didn't have to deal with this on a trip. This is what God does, is He works in us this right, correct perspective. We see the blessings, right? They're there already, but we don't have the right perspective too often. When we have the right perspective, we see them and we praise Him for them. And that's how we should live, isn't it? What a shame when we're blessed so much and don't appreciate it. What a shame. God's blessing us. And so we need to remind each other. We need to remind ourselves all these blessings that we have in Christ. Certainly, we experience blessings each day. But we need to remind ourselves, because there's going to be many days that the physical aspect doesn't look good. That life on earth does not look great. We need to be reminded of these spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. We are forgetful people. Let's remind ourselves. Let's remind each other. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you so much for loving us. Lord, we're embarrassed, we're ashamed that we complain. Lord, we recognize that you are blessing us every day so in so many different ways. And Lord, please help us. Please give us the right perspective. Please help us not to take those things for granted, but to see them and to praise you for them. Lord, that our lives would be marked with thanksgiving, not just this week as we celebrate on Thursday, but our whole lives, each day, that we would be thankful to you, that we would be thankful to each other. Lord, that you would help us to respond to your blessings in expressing our thankfulness, praising your name, giving you glory and praise. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the great reminders in this letter. We pray that you would work these truths in our life, that you would help us as a body to encourage each other all along the way, that we would be building up this body of yours, that you would be glorified, that your will would be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.